says here, while the match, he's talking about my match in 92 in Yugoslavia, he says, while the match was going on, a warrant was issued for his arrest. Again, it's false. This warrant was issued after the match. And the reason it was after, I think they wouldn't have mind if I lost the match this badly. I don't think they would have issued the warrant for my arrest. They got up and mad because I won the match and I won it in such good style.
That's it.
And now, so some other things he said here. He annotates my game with Robert Byrne from USA Championship, New York, 1963. Okay, just so many lies. He's just so vicious in things he says in here. Even the title of the article, it's called "Agony of a Genius." This whole section on me is called "Agony," which to me is kind of implying that I may have mental problems. Like putting a question mark is insane, right? Agony of a genius, which is deliberate. Okay, let me read what he says here. In the previous year's championship, Bobby fell in the very first round to Edmar Mendes and had to play catch-up to Arthur Bistreyer up to the end of the tourney. This time, he would not take any chances. His third round game against Byrne was played in a private room, with the moves being telephoned to an analysis room for commentary by Gian Marcellino and I.M. Sherwood. Here's what happened. I never asked for an NUS championship to play in any private room. It's all lies. And this game was played in front of the public.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as my recollection was, it was not played in the main hall of the Henry Hudson Hotel, which is where they used to have the championship. That had nothing to do with me. This was the organizers trying to save money.
Oh,
yeah. So they just put it in some kind of large hotel rooms,
mm-hmm.
which may have been used for, some parties or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to save money. Nothing to do with me, but it was played in public. Spectators were there. And I remember other games were going on around me.
You did not ask for this situation?
No, I did not ask to play in private, and the game was not played in private.
Uh-huh.
He is taking advantage of the fact that the game was not played, if I recollect, in the main hall of the Henry Hudson Hotel. To try and say, I was afraid of Robert Byrne and asked to play this game in private, which is a complete lie.
Mm-hmm.
The game was not played in private, and I didn't ask to play it in private. Then he's just so many filthy lies here. And then going down a little later, after I played 12-5, he used exclamation mark. Romy Quintanar asked Bobby about the final combination in this game. Fischer insisted that the beautiful part of the game is not the sudden mating attack, but this particular move. Lies. I said E5 was the key move of the game. I said nothing about all this other bullshit. He's just a snake, Tom, trying to make me look like a jerk. And then you go further, after 14 rook FD1, question mark. Yuri Averbakh later on presented reams and reams of analysis to prove that rook AD1 was stronger and would have given white the better game. But that is beside the point. Byrne did not even consider that move, since he wants to put pressure on D5 with knight F4, and at present, he is pinned against the F1 rook. Now, this rook AD1, if you will look in the genuine edition of my 60 memorable games, this is game number,
game number
48.
Oh, yeah.
If you look, the longest note of the book is, I'm analyzing this move,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm mentioning Averbakh. He played, see, they were in the game, Byrne played King Rook to Queen 1.
Yes.
Now, Averbakh said he should have played Queen Rook to Queen 1 instead. And then I analyzed all this, I explained all this, and I said that if White played Queen Rook to Queen 1, Black should play Queen to Bishop 1.
Okay.
So, then according to my analysis in here, Black has at least an equal game. But he is making it sound, and misleading the public, that if Robert Byrne had played Queen Rook to Queen 1, he would have had the advantage. But he knows perfectly well what everybody knows is, every chess player has, who knows anything about me, cares anything about me, would ever write about me, The first source they'll go to is my 16-month movie game, Bobby Fischer. And Bobby Yon is a professional journalist, so he knows damn well that I said Queen Division 1, or Queen C8 in algebraic, gave black. According to my analysis here, at least in the game. Why doesn't he mention that? Why is he making it sound like after Queen to Queen 1, or is it look AU1 in algebraic, the white has the advantage? He's just trying to mock this game, which has received a lot of praise. Okay. Now look at the next note. This is an outright, flat-out lie. Not just a misleading statement, a flat-out lie. We come to 15. Knight takes F2, exclamation. Well, here's what he says. Here's what Bobby Yon says. Bobby told King Tenard that when we made this move, we had already seen the final mate. Mm-hmm. Outright filthy lie. I said nothing of the kind. And I have the tapes. I've got them all right here in this jacket. Mm-hmm. I've got every interview I've given since early 1999, since Peter robbed my stuff. Mm-hmm. I've got every interview. I got them in my pocket, and I've got them indexed. Each interview, I have 16 index marks on them. I can jump to any part very quickly, any important part almost instantly. Mm-hmm. And it was about this part where we talked about this game, my 1963-64 U.S. Championship game against Robert Byrne was about 6 or 7 minutes in there. Mm-hmm. And I listened to it. I can go there. You can even hear it if you want. But there's no for everybody here on the internet.
Of course.
So this was in my interview in Manila of last year, the one I was on with Remington Tenor.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah. So you can go there and you'll see Bobby Yon is the stinking liar. Yeah, I mean, how am I going to see a forced mate there? There is no forced mate there. He's trying to make me sound like a braggart. It's just a despicable but that's not the end of it. There are so many lies in here, I can just go on and on. But it's not, it gets even worse, Pablo, much worse. This is Bobby Yon.
So
let's go now, he was putting my interviews on his internet site, right?
Yes, yes.
This is where was his internet site?
You have the internet site with you?
Yeah. Here's what he did on his internet site. He falsified a document.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if you remember, in many interviews, I was saying the heart of my, the proof of my case against the U.S. government and Beacons and Bob Ellsworth is the fact that I sent him certified bank checks every year to pay these bills of mine.
That's right.
And especially had to pay Beacons. And he was paying Beacons because they didn't take my property until late 1998 or early 1999, sometime around then. They confiscated my property. The U.S. government gave it to them and they took it. Now, I put all of these five checks that I sent to Bob Ellsworth on the internet. And I sent them to Eugene. Eugene gave them to Bobby Yon. Now, he has done an absolutely despicable thing here. He has falsified one of these checks right here. They're utterly despicable, criminal even. If you go to Bob Yon's internet site, this is the check, 1997 check I sent to Bob Ellsworth. This is Hungarian Foreign Trade Bank Limited. This is a check to Mr. Bob Ellsworth. Here it says $5,000 in numerically, right? And Ellsworth says USD. And the real one says $5,000. He changed it to $5,000. You see? Now that's his little sniveling joke because Dryers and Files is one of the companies, remember? They auctioned off a tiny fraction of my belongings, less than 1%, remember?
Yes, yes.
So this is his Dryers and Files, see? $5,000. And if you will study this, you can see very clearly it's utterly impossible to be typographical error. because
the original,
the original was absolutely sharp and clear. And what he did was he took off this side of the V of the five, right? Erased it, and he made the other side on the bottom elongated, right?
That's right.
To make it look like an L.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely vicious. But he did other things too. And also, look what he did here. He, with the letter from the U.S. government.
What letter was that?
This was the letter they sent me warning me not to play in Yugoslavia. See? It just outright, look at this, he put these two lines here.
Yes.
Through it.
Tried to cross out something.
Yeah. Here's the original.
Oh. Yeah.
You know why this is typographical. Plus, just further proof of his ill will, Pablo, he never put any, I gave five new interviews, right?
That's right.
Starting from Tokyo, then I called you up, right?
Yes, yes.
And then I gave four more interviews here in the Philippines,
yes,
right, last year.
Yes.
He never had put, up until now, he never put them on the internet site.
Yeah.
He keeps talking about the interview we did around January 2000. That's the new interview. He keeps talking about it, but it's not new anymore. We don't have much newer interviews.
I wonder if he's going to put it on his website, this interview tonight.
He won't. This guy is just so despicable.
Yeah.
So utterly despicable. Obviously a CIA rat.
What do you intend to do about him now?
Well, nothing. I'm just exposing him.
All right. All right.
I'm not going to do any more than that.
You know, I've got a couple of questions I would like to ask before we finally end the show. This does not concern Bob Young or the other things that we've been talking about. But I'm curious. You're in the country right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the country and your perceptions.
Yeah.
There's ongoing people demonstration in Manila right now. And,
yeah.
You have some opinion on this?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's proper. It was not right, this whole thing, the way they ousted Estrada, in my opinion.
Why?
Because, well, they can't have it both ways. On the one hand, they were going through the impeachment process, right? Doing it legally.
Yes.
And then when they saw they were going to lose that, then they basically ousted him, no? With a kind of military coup, no? And having military coups are illegal by definition, right?
Well,
I understand, more or less illegal.
Yes.
By definition. And now, after having done this illegal act, now they're being sticklers for the law, right? With all this no bail and all this stuff with these charges against them. It's, you know, they're hypocrites, absolute hypocrites. And I think what happened was they screwed up. They really were hoping and praying we would leave the country. They gave him plenty of time to leave the country.
He did not.
Yeah, and then they could have said, well, he fled the country, he's a coward, and they would have, you know, ruined his image with the poor people, right?
Yes, but
he stayed. And now I think there could be trouble. I don't know. I think this Ramos is behind it. He's a CIA rat. I was in Hong Kong when all this happened.
Uh-huh.
I was there when they ousted Estrada.
Mm-hmm.
And a few days before they ousted him, Ramos was in Hong Kong giving an interview there.
Yeah.
And I was, well, I don't like him, but I was very impressed by his brain, his personality. He's a very powerful, intelligent person. He obviously knows everything. So I think he's behind all this, but I don't know what's going to come of all this. I think this was not... they should have tried to stick with the legal thing. Because, well, you know, most countries, once you start these coup things, it keeps going on and on, no?
I hope it doesn't happen here.
Yeah.
and, well, people... Because he was my...
Again, I think what's maybe also the U.S., I think, had an in for Estrada because he was against the bases, right?
Yes.
Like, he voted to get rid of the bases. Then he tried to make it up to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
with this visiting forces agreement, right?
Yes.
But it was too late. They also made a movie, I think, was it in the Claws of the Eagle?
That's right.
Which was an anti-American movie, right?
American, that's right.
So the Uncle Sam, you control of the United States, doesn't forgive or forget, you know?
Right. One other question, Bobby. What about this U.S.-China thing going on right now?
Oh, well, I'm very... Well, I hope they keep the airplane. Because if you remember, in 1976,
mm-hmm.
a Russian flew a MiG into Hokkaido, Japan. Remember that?
Yes.
Affected.
Yes. Oh, I remember.
Yeah. And what happened? Did the U.S. return that plane to Russia?
I don't think so.
Well, they returned it about 2 years later, in pieces. Yeah, after they went through all of the electronics and everything.
They studied it first.
Yeah, and you don't read about that on the internet. You almost blacked out, that story. So I would like to see the Chinese do the same thing with that plane. And they may, instead of returning the pieces, they should auction them off. And if they want, I'll go to China and auction them off for them. Free of charge.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
they can make some money off that plane. In addition to getting all the information, after they're all finished, chopping it up and finding out everything there is, what parts they don't need, the junk parts that you auction for money. People would like a piece of it, and I'll go there to help them for once.
All right, just to follow up on that.
Yeah.
China is angry that the U.S., I think, is planning or maybe has sold some armaments to Taiwan.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be this one China policy.
Yeah, that's right. The U.S. has betrayed China because when they broke diplomatic relations with Taiwan and made open diplomatic relations with Red China,
mm-hmm.
I think it was understood that the U.S. was not going to help Taiwan anymore militarily.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's very provocative what the U.S. is doing.
What makes the U.S. now? I mean, yeah.
They're afraid of China. They're afraid if they give China a breathing space, another 5, 10, 20 years, they're going to become very powerful. And they know China's hungry for revenge for all the humiliations that England and the United States did to them, and the West did to them, with opium and all this stuff. So they want to, I think they either want to take over the government from inside, or else they want to smash them militarily, or with some kind of fragmenting the country through revolutions. You know, they're afraid of China, so I think they think that maybe they want to bring matters to a head before China gets too strong.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
I see.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think of President Bush?
Oh, he's an imbecile, you know. I was studying this guy's face,
you know,
for a long time. I was trying to, he's an imbecile, he's an idiot, he's a jerk, he's a whatever. Finally, what is the word that fits this guy? Finally, I heard it on the BBC.
What?
He's a buffoon. Yeah, that's the word that fits this guy. He always has a... I mean, really, he is borderline retarded. If it weren't for his father, he would have wound up on Skid Row or in a mental hospital or rehab as an alcoholic or a drunkard, you know.
I thought we just run out of time.
Okay.
Thank you again.
You're
not honored, and I'm very surprised when you called me up this afternoon.
I just remember one more.
All right, see.
I just saw a movie here called Antitrust.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a movie about computers and how a company tries to smash their competitors, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, this is a true movie, met up by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, What are they advertising? What company are they advertising? Obviously a promotion for the company. Beacon's Moving and Storage Company. What did I say? Beacon's is the biggest moving and storage company in the U.S., and it's probably the biggest in the world. And I'm sure it's owned by the Rothschilds. I'm sure Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer is owned by the Rothschilds. You know, the original name of the first Rothschild, Amschel Rothschilds, was Mayor Amschel.
Mm-hmm.
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Mayor Amschel.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mel. Thank you very much, Mel.
Well, yeah,
now look at you, masal live interview with Mr. Bobby Fischer, through our station manager, Bruno Paulo Mercado, and medyo umutan din ang sa Arabi. Hindi ka magpagawa sa lalit. Ngayon, in tune, lunes na lang, kahit agusto nito lang, hindi ka sa nalang oras. Okay? Kaya, siyempre, kami mabating ka, pagdengar, kasi na tayo niya, parang parama kita ito ng programa. Kaya, dito na natin, bomba reporter sa nang ormer, dito ang department ng bomba sa diranay, at ngayon, ang kong nalang bomba sa Balawas. Basta radyo, bumbo!
Santa Anita, Kismo, Juana, Servicio Público, nagkakaisang ng arasan mo, magkang sinisilasin, magkang kinapatakutan sa gala ng katotohanan, pinagkikinggan, pinagkiniwalaan. Ito ang Bombo Radio Philippines.